yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
That, of course, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt on the 8th of December, 1941. We all remember what happened on the 7th of December, 1941. And then, of course, was the attack on Pearl Harbor. If you pick up today's copy of the Washington Times front and center, you will see a story entitled Watching Peace Paradise Suddenly Turn into Hell. And the person responsible for that is Ben Wolfgang, and he joins me now. Afternoon, Ben.
Afternoon, Andy.
You had an opportunity to sit down and talk with a couple of vets who lived through the attack on this day 70 years ago. That in and of itself had to be a bit humbling.
It is a bit humbling, and I think one of the things listening to what they had to say that surprised me the most is how vivid the memories are in their head. I mean, even now, 70 years later, you have these guys 88 years old, 90 years old, some even older than that, and it seems like they can remember it as if it happened yesterday. And I imagine if you have a traumatic experience like that, that is the way it happens, that it just sticks in your mind and the images are burned there for the rest of your life. And that was definitely the case with the gentleman we spoke to.
Yeah, you know, and I can't associate with that particular event because I'm simply not old enough, but I do remember the assassination of JFK, mm-hmm. and I remember that day vividly. I was in the fifth grade. I know I was out on the playground.
Right.
I know that a teacher came out and brought us all back in, and the principal addressed the entire school. Obviously, 9/11, you remember where you were and what was going on. And so I certainly understand that. But it is interesting because it also tells you something about the brain, about the body.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Age just simply doesn't matter. You know, as you say, you know, you talk to some of these guys, they're 92 years old,
right.
and they can remember every little circumstance of that day, every you know, little tidbit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of them remembers he was on his way to church that Sunday morning on December 7th, 1941.
Yeah.
Another remembers, like, he was shaving. He'd just gotten out of bed. So you're right. They remember little details about what happened, what they did, you know, running to the storage room to try and break in to get a gun to fire at these planes overhead. They remember little details like that, which is really striking to think 70 years later that they would.
How many World War II vets are still out there, and how many Pearl Harbor vets?
There's estimated to be somewhere around 7,000-8,000 Pearl Harbor vets. I think total World War II is around the 2.5 million range, and they're estimated to be passing away at a rate of about 1,000 veterans a day, which is amazing to think about.
Do most of them wonder how they escaped and the others perished that day?
Absolutely, and that was one of the most striking things to me. One of the veterans that I talked to, who actually not only survived Pearl Harbor but then went on to fight in the Pacific Theater in World War II, went on to Korea and went on to Vietnam and never had a physical injury. And you can see it in his face, see it in his eyes when he tells those stories, that even to this day, 70 years later, he's genuinely shocked and really has no idea why it turned out that way, why the person on his right and the person on his left, they were killed, they were maimed, wounded, and he escaped three wars, escaped Pearl Harbor and two subsequent wars after that unscathed. I mean, you can tell looking into the guy's eyes that he's genuinely amazed and sort of doesn't understand it.
Yeah. They speak of the heroism displayed that day and how with diminished resources the fight continued.
That's right. That's right. One of the veterans we talked to, and it's actually, it's somewhat humorous, I guess, looking back now, but he said that they picked up rocks and threw rocks back at the planes that were overhead, the Japanese planes.
I would throw, you know, I'm with them. I would have thrown anything I could have, you know.
I mean, he said, you know, obviously they weren't doing much damage, but it helped their morale, sort of, the give them hell mentality. Even though we can't really fight back, we're going to, you know, just scrape and claw and do everything we can. Another guy that we talked to, he worked on the technical side in the military, had never fired a rifle before. And when the attack occurred, someone had to show him how to fire a rifle to fight back at these planes overhead. So you're right. I mean, they really didn't care that they were outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. They would use rocks, learn to fire a gun on the fly like that, anything they could do to defend Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Now, they're part of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association, and that association is going away.
Yeah, as of December 31st of this year, they'll no longer be around. It's and the veterans are quite saddened by that. But when you talk to them, and I mean, they realize at this point, as we've said, 88 years old, 90 years old or older, they're just having a hard time keeping up with it at this point. And their members, frankly, are just dying off too quickly to replenish the ranks.
Yeah.
So they're sort of turning over, I guess, the mission of keeping the legacy alive to the sons and daughters of Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. So they're going to kind of take the lead in keeping those stories in the forefront.
Are there concerns from these people you talked with that the younger generation of today doesn't realize what happened on December 7th, 1941?
There certainly is. I think it's interesting that I think most people, you know, whether it's somebody your age or my age or younger school children, I mean, they know obviously about the attack on Pearl Harbor. They know what happened on December 7th. But I think what they don't know and what too many people don't know are some of these individual stories from these veterans. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the ones that we just talked about and others. I mean, there are thousands, literally thousands, millions of of, you know, harrowing stories. And I think that's sort of what they're more interested in. They're more interested in talking to their grandchildren, their family members, their friends around the community about their specific experience and how it molded them into the person they are today. So it's one thing to know about the attack on Pearl Harbor in the broader context of World War II, but it's quite another to get down into the weeds and listen to what these people have to say about it.
Yeah. Some of the youngest survivors are 87, 88 years old. The ones that are under 88 years old, these guys, they lied about their age to get in, didn't they?
One of the gentlemen we talked to enlisted at 17, lied about his age to get into the military.
That was sort of common practice from what I understand. I mean, my dad had talked about that, that, you know, the guys, they wanted to do this. This was something that they felt compelled to, I mean, let's face it, it was protecting our nation.
Right.
And to them, 17 or 18 didn't make a difference. One way or the other, I was going to fight for the country. And that was the attitude. And so these guys, they would go up to these recruiters and say, yep, I'm 18, I'm ready. And of course they wanted them, so
the U.S. needed the manpower at that point.
They them in. And I look back on that, and some people would say, well, that was the wrong thing to do, they broke the law, but God bless them for doing it. Sorry, that's the way I feel about it. You talk to one guy who was actually missing in action after the attack. And if I understand correctly, there was even a funeral for him.
Yeah, in his hometown in Dubuque, Iowa, they actually held a funeral for him and his parents. I mean, it's almost something out of a comedy movie that you hear about, really. I mean, his family and friends back home thought he was dead. They had a funeral, the whole nine yards, in a church back in Iowa. And it wasn't until he was moved off of Pearl Harbor onto a different ship that I guess somebody told him, hey, you know, they had a funeral for you back home in Iowa. So, I mean, he had
had to go home and say surprise.
The unique experience of calling his parents who were under the impression that he's dead. So.
That's a marvelous story. I mean, obviously it's a little strange, but the idea that he called and told his parents that, hey, I'm still here.
Right.
Imagine what it did for them. Oh.
That's right.
Did you get the impression that there are many more stories out there that we'll probably never hear because some have always been reluctant to talk about it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one of the saddest things about this whole episode. One thing that I've come to realize is most of these guys, and women as well, obviously, are more than willing to talk about this if they're asked. And if they're not going to be too forthcoming and just stand up on their soapbox and tell you their story. They want to be asked about it, and then they're willing to talk. As a matter of fact, when I spoke to one of the officials with the Sons and Daughters of Pearl Harbor Survivors Association, her father was a Pearl Harbor veteran, and she said that she went most of her adult life, never really asked him about it. Knew he was there, knew the story of World War II, but never asked him about it, and subsequently he never talked about it. So I think that's something that a lot of people need to realize. I mean, we're losing these guys at a rate of 1,000 veterans a day. So, I mean, you know, if you want to know the story that, you know, your grandfather has been holding back on telling for the past 70 years, you don't have a lot longer to ask him. So I think people should do that.
Yep. The story's outstanding. You did a wonderful job on it, Ben, and it's called Watching Peace, Paradise Suddenly Turn into Hell. It is the front page of today's Washington Times. If you don't have one, get one. You can also go to WashingtonTimes.com. Great job. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Ben Wolfgang of the Washington Times.